Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
Guys, it's the Battle Rounds Part 2, and we have a special guest. Stay tuned.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Hey!
My stiff dancing every week, every week! Hey, guys, welcome back to another episode of The Voice After Show. You guys have such rhythm. We need to work on the side.
Everybody has rhythm somewhere.
We'll figure this out. Anyway, welcome back to another episode of The Voice After Show. Today, we're discussing Battle Rounds Part 2. We're also getting into news and predictions, and our special segment of today is our special guest, Courtney Harrell. So she's here with us. Yay! Yay!
And she's bringing good vibes.
Yes, and helpful information. She'll be joining us throughout the discussion tonight.
Yes, interactive.
Yes, and if you guys have any questions, feel free to let us know in the chat down below. But as I said, I am Princess Carol, and I'm joined by my lovely co-host.
Hi, I'm Lindsay Hoffman.
I'm Nima Sky.
Hey guys, I'm Tyra.
Awesome. Well, yeah, so let's go ahead and get into tonight's discussion because we have a lot to talk about and we have a lovely interview. So first up, we have Team Adam. Team Adam is our captain. Okay. So give us a report, get into it.
Okay, Team Adam, I told you guys, Adam is not coming to play with y'all.
Especially with those pants today.
Listen.
The orange pants.
It's the orange pants.
It's the same from last week, right?
Well, either way, Adam killed it, of course, like I expected. Okay. So the first battle, he had Carly Marino. She is from Mission Viejo, California. She wanted to be just like her mom. Her mom was a singer, and you can definitely see that. She just embodies that she was a child of a singer. And then we also had Celia Bambini from New York City, and this was the contestant whose dad was a photographer and her mom is a designer. Yes. And she puts her song lyrics on her clothes, which is very interesting and very unique. Yes. So they killed it in their battle. They performed the song Friends, and I thought it was amazing. I thought they had great chemistry. The energy was great. And it was just to the point where Adam didn't even know who to choose. And it was literally, I think that happened a lot in this episode. It was like a little thing that stood out that made them pick the person. And needless to say, they chose Celia because of her, her unique voice. She had a different sound. You can tell that, I don't know, it was something that Adam maybe wanted to pull out of her and bring to light something different, a change. We always talk about unique sound and how they help them find their inner instrument. So I personally think that's why he kept her. But Carly, I was really disappointed but I was happy that she did get stolen.
Right.
Hey, we validated
she
people over there.
Yeah, she just
had
great, though.
She did great. Yeah. She had a great tone. And you can tell, with her mother having that background, you can tell she's kind of been trained and brought up into this. So I was happy to see her back. But overall, I thought it was a great battle. What do you guys feel about their performance?
I liked Carly's performance. Carly is a very, laid back girl. She reminds me of, one of those skater girls, you know? But her, when she opens up her mouth and sings, she has, so much, passion and energy. And I love it. I think, again, like I said, personally, I think that Carly did a better job to me. I would have probably chose her, but hey, Adam chose Celia. Is that how you pronounce her name?
Celia.
Celia. So yeah.
I'm so sorry if we mispronounced.
Yes, if we did mispronounce your name. We're very sorry. Bye. I just want to say that for the record. But yes. I like Carly. Sorry.
I'm a fan of Carly as well, but I understand why he didn't choose her. When I listen to Carly, she sounds more I love that they chose this Marshmello song because she sounds that voice on that techno track that you hear. Mm-hmm. But I think that's why they didn't pick her because she sounds like a voice that you can hear on any of these songs and you're like, I love this song. It's on the radio.
Yeah.
But you don't know who it is who sings it.
Right.
So she sounds more of one of those singers who are featured on a song versus the artist.
It just
of the
sounded
song.
Like a sound that we already knew. And I think that's why when they went with the other contestant, because like I said, she just had that unique voice. And maybe Adam saw that and was like, I need to, you know, pull this out of her and, you know, make it stand out even more.
Yeah,
because
she mentioned.
Is that what he said?
Exactly what he said. I want to pull it out of her. You know, she's so young and she has so much potential. You know, I want to pull it out of her. That's literally what he said. I wrote it in my notes right here.
I don't want her to go.
Yeah. I mean, he mentioned that she sounds like Ellie Goulding, which I was like, that is spot on. But I'm happy that she went to Team Blake. Somebody needed to save her. I was really upset when she went. Same. She also reminds me of Gwen. I'm just going to throw that out there.
Of course. You know, and he's saying he like girls from Orange County.
Yeah, of course.
Sorry.
No, we know that now.
Yes.
So I'm excited to see how she works with him and just how he helps her mature. Who knows? Maybe he'll bring in Gwen later. I don't know.
I hope so.
Yeah,
okay, cool.
Definitely.
But yeah, I was happy she got stolen because for me, I actually wasn't. I love Celia's blind, but I thought Carly did better as well. I'm happy she's staying.
Yeah, I think it was just that little thing. It was just because she had a unique voice, just like many of the other acts that we watched. But this next battle was probably, well, it was one of my favorites this episode. So with Adam's second battle, it was Sierra Dumas. From Kennersville, North Carolina, and it was LB Crew. I'm not even trying to say a city because I'm gonna mess it up. But y'all,
Alabama,
they killed it. Like they sang "Done for Me" by Charlie Puth. First of all, it was just beautiful. I loved how they rearranged it, how they put their own style and swag to it. They just had great energy. I love seeing it. Them always like work together and be as one as a unit. I mean, even though it's a competition, just seeing people vibe off each other is really cool to me. But in the beginning, Sierra, like, I literally have in my notes, Sierra killed first note. Like, as soon as the music hit, it was just like, oh, shoot, what am I getting ready to listen to? Because she is ready. It was so good. I really think LB, we talked briefly last week about how I feel like a lot of people from last week's episode, they were chosen based off of their their personality and like how crowds would react to them. And I think LB had that. He was a good singer, an amazing singer, but he also had an amazing personality that I felt like the audience would be able to relate with.
Absolutely.
And they will enjoy his performance and his voice at the same time. But I thought it was good. I went and downloaded that song right afterwards. I was like, I never heard it before. So when they did, I was just like, this is amazing.
Wait, you never heard the Charlie Puth song?
I haven't.
I'm sorry.
I haven't
either.
I haven't. I was just
it's
really,
a good song.
I was really shocked and I was really amazed. And then I think it says a lot for, I'm not going to lie, I was kind of nervous when they had their rehearsal and they had to sing it in front of them. They were kind of rocky. They were kind of nervous. You know, he was talking about how the range was really high. It's a, kind of like a falsetto based song. So I was kind of nervous watching them, but they went on stage and they killed it, and it was by far one of the best performances of the night. How did you guys feel? I'm going to stop rambling.
What do you feel coming out there and singing? Like, what is this first note? Like, do you feel like the first note just has to, like, capture the judges and the audience, or what's your
spell? I think you have about, like, 5 seconds to capture someone. And the first note can be difficult to hit immediately. I'm not always perfect with that. And sometimes, you know, you're trying to take inventory of what the vibe is like in the room or what the sound is like. And that sound stage is challenging because you don't have floor monitors. They're coming from underneath your feet. So sometimes, I know when it was me, I was trying to like zone in, okay, how do I make sure that I'm actually hearing so I can get on that note? So that's really impressive that she was able to cut through in that way. But then also seeing the progression from what can happen in a rehearsal, which, you know, they're imperfect, and they're happening in front of these big celebrities that are not only your coaches, but the mentors who come in, and you're working with a team of people to make sure that that performance is strong by the time you get on that stage. It's not easy.
Oh, it doesn't seem
that.
It doesn't
seem like
that at all. How many hours do you actually get to practice leading up to that?
Oh, you get a good amount of time.
Oh, that's good.
You know, you get a good amount of time, but also, it's what you do when you're not working with your coach. That's key.
Interesting.
Also, for me, it was interesting because during my battle rounds, Yeah, during my battle rounds, I was preparing my son for college. Oh, and so I literally took him to school the day before the battle. So there were like two different, you know, worlds that were happening. And it's an intense moment for everyone. Mm-hmm. I say that to say you never know what life is like for the people who are on that stage.
Yeah.
Right.
Because a lot of times there's so much more going on than what, you know, we're able to see. So the fact that you can say this is one of the best performances of the night, I think hats off to both of them because it's not an easy feat at all.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you for that insight.
Definitely.
Yeah. It's really cool.
I mean, I can imagine like nerves and so much more. And I think that like once we watch the performance, we're not even thinking about like what happened before. We're just like,
we
oh
don't.
My God. Like,
yeah. Exactly. Because it looks like they have like a day to get it together.
Like literally.
The way they edit it.
Well, it happens really quickly. You have about a week, but a week is enough time to, you know, to get a song together. But then you're like, you know, you have to, the battles are interesting because you're having to connect.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
That's the biggest part.
It's not just you versus them. It's like the two of you together. Mm-hmm. And somehow you still have to outshine that
the
other
next
person.
Right.
Which,
yeah.
Whew, that's not easy.
And I think we saw a lot of that. I don't want to jump the gun.
It was
But you definitely saw that. It's like you.
They were kind of flirting with each other.
In my group,
LB
was definitely flirting
with her. Yeah, he was flirting with her
because
he kept walking around her. And so she was like, that was the entire performance.
Listen, there's a performance going on. I separate all of that.
Okay, so you're like listening to the vocals. Okay, I get it.
No, you're looking at it.
But I mean, they should be interacting. Yeah, it's part of the act.
They were interacting very good, they had good chemistry.
Yeah,
whether
they did.
That's
I almost
off the
feel like
cameras,
he was trying to make her nervous,
know.
Though. Like, he was trying to play with her so
really?
Much.
No, I think he was just really into it. He just has that kind of
He's
personality.
He's a smooth guy, though.
Yeah, like, he makes you like him. But I don't know. I think it was a little beyond the performance. Because even when they were when the judges started complimenting
them. I'm telling you guys, I was watching.
When the judges started complimenting them, like, they had said something to her, and he was just like, like, he made some kind of big voice, and I was like,
Okay.
But Sierra didn't want him. She wanted Charlie. She kept saying,
she did. Charlie. She was like, Charlie. She was like, oh my God, I'm rehearsing with Charlie. He's cute, number one. And number two, he's great. And number three, like, he's cute.
Yeah.
That was super funny.
And also her outfit, not to interrupt, but
it was red. I mean, come on. A lady in a red dress.
And sparkle, it just it stood out. I watched that, and I was thinking, where do I buy that outfit?
Well, but still, while we're talking about this, were you guys shocked that no one stole her? I was actually kind of upset.
I was, too.
I think she was amazing. She had an amazing voice, and like I said, I think, you know, when it comes to, like, it comes to personality, and I think LB was probably solely picked because of his personality outside of her.
But see, also,
but she's coming to the comeback.
Yeah, she's coming to the comeback stage.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you're right.
I wonder how they normally choose the people that come to the comeback stage. So how does that go?
So that I don't know because this is new. It wasn't happening when I was on the show.
What did they do back when you were on the show that was different? They had a different
version? If you didn't get stolen, you went home.
You went home.
Oh, dang.
That's a new thing.
Different life.
Well, it looks like they have, I don't want to mispronounce her name, BB or...
BB Rexha.
Yeah, maybe that was just a segment that they added personally for her, because it looks like she's the one who makes the decisions on the
couple. Well, it's been hosted by a couple of. I think this is like the second round.
And the comeback stage is for their the YouTube channel, so it's a way to integrate the social media platform with the show. So
and they've also had a different. They've had a different. Version of it as well because it didn't happen this early.
Mm-hmm.
It would happen toward the lives where they could bring back someone who, you know, didn't
a surprise,
make it.
So they just didn't show that process and now they're showing it.
Yeah, this is different.
Yeah, but I think I personally think like it was amazing that she did make the comeback, but
that's
I think
amazing.
She deserved, you know, that steal right then.
I mean,
and there.
Like she was great.
Yeah,
I mean, personally, I felt like Adam was going to choose her, but again.
Well,
no, I did. But LB did a great job, hands down. I mean, he can definitely sing. He has a great performance. He has great energy. But I really feel like that Adam chose LB. He didn't want John to get him. Because, you know, John was like, listen, you know, you're singing, like, your sound is very gospel and R&B, like, which is where I come from. Yeah. So he was like, I think that, you know, you would be a great addition to my, like John well, was trying to, like, he was trying to steal him.
We'll find out when she comes back, or if she comes back, depending on how the comeback stage goes. Yeah. But
I did want to note one more thing. She also had a very diverse voice and sound. Kelly hit on it a lot, how she, when she would hit different notes, she had this, like, raspiness in her voice.
That's what it
and
was.
And it was just like, oh my God. Like it was just like a different kind of
sound. And that's the reason why I thought that. Mm-hmm.
So I think that's what really got me, because I picked that up too. Like, she sounded good, but she just had something different that kind of set her apart from him, and I didn't understand why nobody picked up on that and stole her.
Right. Well, there are all different types of things that are happening. So they may... The judges may need to have the space to steal.
Right.
Yeah. And you're not seeing this sequentially. So, you know.
I feel like it's kind of like a setup, huh? Maybe.
Well, kind of.
You're not seeing the editing.
Yeah. Some of these performances were not done at the same time or on the same day. Mm, we're just constructing a show for everyone to see.
Right.
So you have no idea, like, did Blake have someone or have the space to steal?
Right.
Did they use all their steals? That's always. That's a good
point. Or even, like, during when they were, like, the blind auditions, when they were picking, and how, like, we were talking about how John would take so long to turn around, or he wouldn't turn around. I guess it could have also been about the strategies that they have. Also, right. I already have someone that kind of has this sound, so I don't need her. So I guess that makes sense. You have to just, there's so many different factors involved.
Yeah. Into it.
Yeah. And the competition is not just about the singers. It really is the coaches. How they want to play it.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah, so that's
like a
chess
game.
Yeah, so us at home, we're like, we should have covered, but now,
definitely, I mean, watching the show, amazing. I kind of get a feel for, you know, just to kind of see, like, it's a lot more going on than what we actually think.
Yeah, so. I agree. But let's move on to Team Legend, because we have a lot to get through tonight.
Yeah, I'm sorry. That was a long time.
Let's
this is going to be very easy, because first of all, we only had one performance, and I feel like their performance was the best, and not because I'm Team Legend, but, you know. Julian and Denton, OMG. I think that I've said from the beginning that I'm like, I absolutely love Julian. Just because I think that, like, he's just a great performer, like, hands down. His energy's always there, like, his tone, his pitch, like, his range. I always feel, like, every time he sings, I always feel everything that he's saying. And it's so funny, because I was watching the segment when, you know, whenever they were doing the rehearsals with Khaled, and Khaled was trying to tell Julian, hey, I want you to really, you know, think about, like, this girl or, like, somebody that you're dating. Like, how would you feel, like, if like, that person didn't, you know, didn't show you love? And he had to think about it. But then whenever he came on stage and he performed it, I literally felt like he, like, tapped into that moment. Mm-hmm. So I think that he did an amazing job. Denton did a very, very good job, too. Like, and also, I noticed, too, talking about this is the battle round. So both of the performers basically have to connect. I noticed that in the beginning that Julian was definitely trying to connect with Denton, but I noticed that Denton was, I feel like he was probably trying to, like, compete with him, like, a lot.
Really?
And I noticed that. Yeah, I did. I noticed that.
I felt
they should be competing.
I felt like they weren't together.
No, you're right. They definitely should be, but I kind of felt like Denton was trying to, like, cut him off a little bit, and Julian just kept, I mean, like, of course, like, they played it off
really,
very
during
well.
The performance?
Yeah.
I feel like
I noticed everything. No,
I
noticed everything.
Cutting off piece of this.
I mean, of course, like they definitely connected, but Denton was definitely letting him know, listen, man, like, I'm gonna try to win this from you.
When I listened to the song and I saw what they were doing, they weren't cohesive the whole time.
No, not in the beginning.
They were battling each other and
absolutely.
Not meshing until the very end, and
right.
I could see that in John's face. He looked.
He's like, oh my
God,
what's going
on?
Yeah.
And then they finally came together, and that's what I'm looking for when I'm watching the viewers, is that they can, although they're battling each other, they need to make it one song together and combine their voices.
That's the art of singing and performance, though, because if you go back in history and you think of all of the big legends that we saw perform, a lot of them did not like each other.
But you can never tell, though.
A lot of them were in competition, direct competition with each other, but when you get on that stage, you have to drop that.
Yeah. Right.
So it's a tricky place to be.
Yeah.
To be competing, but then having to be one
And that's, I think, what makes what you were saying earlier is that's what makes the star power is that you're able to drop it and turn it into one song, right. even though you're competing and still shine. I think that's what sets you apart.
Yeah. I remember in my battle round, I battled Ethan. Oh, shoot. Why am I forgetting Ethan's last name? Anyway, Ethan is amazing. Ethan is amazing. And we sang a song that was more leaning toward his voice. So the moment he opened his voice, I'm like, what am I going to do? So I, to compete, had to, you know, try to figure out what parts of my voice can I use to literally sing circles around him so that they would pay attention to me. Mm-hmm. Because the power of his voice. We sang a John Mayer song.
Oh, wow.
And he sounds like John Mayer wished he did when he wrote the song we sang. It just was like, it was so pure and so perfect. Wow. And it's like, you know, that's hard to compete with. Mm-hmm. But we still had to find a way to be ourselves in it and then marry each other in that performance.
Wow.
It's not easy to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
At all.
I can definitely tell.
You gotta drop your ego.
Yeah.
It's like excellence versus ego.
Right.
Ego is always going to compromise the level of excellence.
Mm-hmm. And that's the reason why I think that I always say that I like Julian because, again, like,
he wasn't trying to.
He was like, he literally was not trying to fight him. Like, I could tell he kept looking at him because he was really trying to connect. But then in the end, like, when he just took the range to a whole different level and he just, like, dropped, and I could literally, like, feel what he was singing, I was like, you know what? He's gonna take it home. And that's literally, like, what he did. Not to mention that, somebody did. Well, no, actually, he went home. No, nobody stole Denson. Denson went home, sadly.
I think no one stole him because although he's amazing, there's enough people on the show that sound similar to him. Mm-hmm. Whereas I think that
on
Julian has the star power.
Yes.
You know, when you hear him, he sounds like he's an artist. You sound like you've already heard him somewhere before. And I think that's why he's shining through and moving forward versus Denton not being chosen.
Well, speaking of shining through, do you have a special message for us down there?
I still have stuff to say.
Oh,
great. We're just trying to see you. We want to get to our interview.
I just wanted to say, Julian was really beautiful. I did not get those vibes. I thought they worked together. I literally put, they had Day 26 vibes. I don't know if you guys.
Day 26.
No, I remember. But I thought they were amazing. I don't know. I didn't see that. But I want to say, again, it was just, I feel like they were so good and they both sounded really good.
Yeah.
That it, again, was just that one thing that separated them, and it was that run that Julian did at the end that made me go, oh shoot, yeah, we need to keep him. So I guess I'm just being like devil's advocate. I didn't think it was bad. I thought they meshed well. I think they both sounded beautiful, but Julian just did that run and then it was from there. But of course, I would love to let you guys know how you can keep in touch with us. If you're on YouTube right now, make sure you hit that thumbs up button and subscribe. And if you're on iTunes, please give us a 5-star rating. But no matter where you are, leave us a comment so you can get involved in our conversation. Being a part of AfterBuzz means so much to us. We love being here. We love talking about our favorite shows with you guys. And we need you guys to keep this ball going. So, you know, tell your friends and continue to enjoy our shows.
Thank you.
I feel like I have to, like, sum that up really bad.
Next up, we have Team Kelly.
Yeah, my team. So, I think Team Kelly was a little bit controversial today because teamed up Rizzy and Presley, which I know Rizzy was your favorite. They're both favorites.
Listen,
yeah,
Kelly did her thing this episode. I
think it was hard for her to let Rizzy go because they had that special bond
connection.
So I want to know what you guys think, because one thing I want to point out that I think is interesting is Rizzy had mentioned, you put me against a 16-year-old girl, and, you know, Presley does have the look and to last longer. And Rizzy, she did her hair younger. Do you think that was a thing to try to make her look younger to compete with Presley so people wouldn't have the illusion of a young pop star versus her?
Well, I mean, her hair has always looked like that. I mean, that's not what I'm saying.
Cat ear thingies.
Right. No, I'm saying that her hair, I feel like it wasn't necessarily her hair, even though I don't know if I really want to say that it really depends on the look. I don't think it's just the look. I think that it takes a lot more, you know, to really see somebody as a star than, like, you know, their look. Because everybody has different looks. I think that Rizzy has a very strong voice. And what everybody kept saying is that when it comes to, like, you know, vocal wise and presence, like, Reezy hands down, like, she definitely, you know, stole Presley. However, I remember whenever they were, like, coaching them, I don't know if it was Kelly. Yeah, it was Kelly. She kept telling Rizzy, she was like, listen, you have a great voice and you can sing. But she was like, I need you to pull the power down a little bit. And I think
maybe she pulled it down too much.
Yes, she pulled it down too much. And I noticed it. Because again, like I said, I pay attention to everything.
Yeah.
She pulled that power down that, like, because her first performance in like the blind audition, she like surpassed
it. She has a Kelly voice. They both have Kelly powerhouse voices.
Yeah. Yes. But I think that, you know, she was trying to be that connection, you know, is what you're talking about, Courtney. She was trying to connect with Presley in a way that to where she wouldn't overpower her, but I think that it kind of worked against her.
But do you think, though, because no one chose her, and maybe Courtney can weigh in this as well, is do you think that no one chose her because they could see, looking at Presley, she has potentially more longevity because she is 16? You know, they're thinking still as a pop star.
No, see, and I don't think it was her age.
I don't think it was her age.
She did amazing. I think
she did a great job. Yeah.
I don't think it was her age. I don't think it was her looks. I think Presley just stole the show.
She did. She killed it.
Like, Rizzy has an amazing voice, but, like, I don't know, it was something where Rizzy had did this run, and then she came back. Like you said, how you got to figure out how you can outdo that next person. She outdid her.
Like, her energy was like,
she took the stage. She did take the stage.
Exactly. Yeah, she did, for sure. And I feel like, as far as the age thing goes, I look at it as she's only 16 and she went out there and did something like that. Let me just imagine once I nurture her and make her bigger.
Yeah, that's my question. Is that what the judges are thinking long term, and is that why they didn't choose Rizzy?
It was her energy. That's what it was. I feel like it was her energy.
I think at the end of the day, that may be a great, you know, point. Maybe they are considering your age, but what's interesting about these shows is when you're partnered with another singer, just plainly speaking, talent is not enough. Mm-hmm. Your ability to sing is not enough. And if you look at what we listen to, what we consume outside of television on a daily, we're not listening to singers who are amazing vocalists per se or powerhouses. We want what's coming from here. Mm-hmm. And if you don't come from here, it doesn't matter.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
So if she didn't bring it, it wouldn't have mattered what run she sang or how long you can hold a note or whatever. That's what we're responding to.
Absolutely.
That's fair.
Yeah,
that's
feeling you get after listening.
Yeah, that's very real.
And that's exactly what Presley did. Yeah. Like, her energy was just magnet.
Her outfit was on point. Her hair was amazing. She looked like a star. And I agree that I would have chose her as well, but I'm also sad to see Rizzy go because she reminded me of Kelly.
She's amazing.
I was disappointed that she didn't get stolen too, so.
Yeah.
I literally put, wow, amazing.
I did. It was an amazing performance. Kelly meshed the voices perfectly. I wanted to listen to that version of the song again.
She's like, why did I do this? I don't know why I did this to myself.
I'm like, I don't know why I did this either,
and
Kelly.
It's really hard for the judges. Like, it's really hard for them to make these kinds of choices. Like, I remember on my season, there were times where judges were crying because it was too much.
It's
a lot that everyone is going through.
Do they cry on the set or just backstage when you're practicing?
I mean, Miley cried.
Molly will cry,
and then get off stage and be like, I don't know how you guys do this. Like, it's hard.
It's hard to look two people you believe in in the face and have to pick one over the other.
Well,
over on the veteran team, Blake.
Yes.
Over on these parts,
yeah.
We stole Carly, which I was very excited about.
Yes.
And that makes sense to me because she looks like she belongs with Blake.
Yeah.
I mean, her feel. Yeah. The feel, not just aesthetically, but...
Not just the wind thing.
Yeah.
I can't go beyond the obvious.
He was like, oh, she looks like Gwen. She's on my team.
I was like, Gwen. I love Gwen.
She's got the sweet voice like her, too.
She does. She does.
And she's a tomboy like Gwen. Okay, we're seeing a pattern here.
Listen.
Gwen.
I'm trying to tell you.
He's going to make her the next Gwen.
There's only one Gwen Stefani.
That's right.
let her be great. Let her be great. But yeah, so with Blake, the first that went up was Dexter versus Dalton.
Yes.
I felt from the beginning that Dexter was going to get chosen.
Absolutely.
His voice was amazing. He's a four-chair turn, which is already like, you know, really intimidating. But I thought that Dalton did great. I think he tried, but it was pretty obvious.
He did have more depth, I felt, to his voice, though. It was a hard choice, but I do think Dexter is more well-seasoned, because if you guys remember from my special news a while back, is he was on American Idol, made it to the top 10. He did the tour with them, but then he ended up getting bit by the tick and had to pull out of the tour.
He got really, really sick.
Yeah,
very, about and that. Now he's back. This is his comeback. So he's definitely well seasoned when it comes to a show like this. So I think he's going to make it pretty far.
And that makes a big difference. Yeah. If you've gone through it before, like the year I was on the show, the winner had been top 16 of American Idol.
Wow.
So he'd already
he was top 10 artists.
Where you have like artists who were on The Voice who go on another show and they do even better on that show because
they have experience.
They have the experience of this is. This is not like singing in any other.
What is it that you learn? Because you had made it to the top 10 on your season.
What do you learn?
That's different than if you had not been on it. What sets it apart other than being used to being on the show?
Just navigating a stage like that is hard, you know? So being able to work a stage, to work with the team, there's like a huge production behind everything. But I think the main thing that you get there is finding your voice. You're in a situation where you can find your voice and you find what doesn't work for you, when you go back in another circumstance like that, you stay away from those things. Sometimes it's like repetition with anything. You know, you do it a million times over, and when you come to it again, it's with ease. For me, it was challenging because I hadn't sung publicly as a solo artist in over 15 years. So I was on that show like getting my legs back, but then I'm on the show with people who sing all the time. So it's just, you know, it's practice and it's finding who you are.
Wow.
That's
your part. Who knew resumes were important?
Yeah.
I mean, like, well, it's experience, but I don't know. That's just cool. Like, seeing that different perspective. I didn't think of that.
Thank you for sharing your insights tonight. This has been like really helpful. Like, the other side.
You're welcome.
But next up on Team Blake, we have Kim versus Kendra. I thought that Kim surprised me. Like, I wasn't expecting all of that. So very quickly, what did you guys think of her performance before we move on to the interview?
This was my favorite performance of the night.
It was really
thought it was amazing.
I'm a fan
of Kim. I think the producers would agree because they edit it to be last of the show. So they built up. Yeah. So in my mind, I'm like, it's going to be good. And it was. And I liked seeing that side of Kim. And I agree with the choice because before we saw her be the rap, be the no scrubs, and she had more of a funny personality. But in this part, you really got to see her voice come out, and I was like, wow, she can really sing. And their voices meshed perfect together. Yeah, they're rooting each other on. They're not fighting against each other.
Yeah. I think they were the same.
They did sound almost exactly the same. Yeah. And I think that's why Kim stayed, is her personality.
I think it was her stage presence.
Yeah, she
really,
had a little
like,
more.
For me.
You like watching her. She's fine.
But I don't know if you guys heard, but did you hear John and Adam say, I would have chose Kendra. And then that's when they hit the button.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Because I also would have chosen Kendra, too.
Yeah. I mean, Kendra, her voice, it's not always about voice. It's really about energy. And I think that Kendra not only was, like, she's singing well, but I think that her energy, and I literally felt exactly what she was saying. Like, I always go to kind of see, like, if they're going to allow me to feel, you know, what they're talking about. And that's why I would probably say I would go with Kendra more than Kim. I don't know.
Well, thankfully, she gave me that feeling. Kendra was stolen.
Yes, she was.
So she's sticking around.
She's going away. I think the last thing I want to add before we go on to our special segment is I think that Kim will go far just because she is Blake's only person who's not country. So she's going to stand.
Carly. No, Carly. Other than Carly. I was like Carly.
Well, Carly. So they have an edge now because of that, because they are different than the other people on his team. So it makes them be a little bit more exciting to watch versus if they were on the other people's teams.
Yeah.
Right. Well, thank you so much.
Got a
much.
Variety.
Yeah, I got a variety and Gwen. All right, well, next we're going into our special segment. It's the pinnacle of our evening, our interview with Miss Courtney Harrell.
Yay.
Yay.
Are they now? Segment. Yes. They're
Yes. Courtney. Yes. You were on season 11 of The Voice. Let me just say, hands down, I watched your performance, Let It Go, and I just got chills all over my body. I was just like, oh my God. Like, I said to myself, just even watching it, how could someone be in the room at the same time and just not feel the passion? Like, I felt the story. Like, I didn't even hear the song. I felt the story. I was like, this girl got on this stage and whatever it was, she let it go. And like, your level and your range and your energy, and I just say, hands down, you did amazing.
Thank you.
You did absolutely amazing. So, one thing I do want to talk about, like watching blind audition performance, I know Alicia, I felt like she had a connection with you, you know, because, you know, of course you talked about your son and how, you know, you took a break off. But what I want to know is why did you choose Blake and not choose Alicia? Because she was like, well, you know, mothers, you know, we always tend to, you know, put ourselves second. And I was like, oh, yeah, like she's going to choose Alicia. But she chose Blake.
I thought I was going to, at one point,
yes,
go to Alicia as well. But going into it, I said, okay, if Adam turns, then I'm going to go. I already had my strategy. Like, I knew what I wanted. I knew what I wanted out of this. So I was like, if Adam turns, then that's where I'm going. But I'm like, he may not like me. So, so then Blake may turn, and if Blake turns, that's where I'm going. I already had in my mind, like, where I wanted to be. But I did have a very, like, amazing conversation with Alicia that was very convincing. But at the end of the day, I felt Blake was the better fit for me overall. So I don't regret it. And then, you know, we have this mutual love for bad 80s music.
Yeah.
I love soft rock from the 80s. He loves cheesy 80s music. So there was a connection there. And then also with my background as a professional songwriter, I just felt like this would give me an in a different way into a world in which I could explore the art of songwriting. Country music has some of the best songs ever and the best songwriters ever. So it was beyond the moment on the stage.
Yeah, because you've written songs for Chris Brown, Ariana Grande, Jennifer Hudson. That's amazing.
Amazing.
Love Chris Brown. Yes. Thank you.
And some of the things the fans might not know is that you toured with John Legend.
I did.
Yes.
What do you feel about him being on a judge, working with him and knowing what he's like?
I think it's good to see him there. You know, I learned a lot touring with John. I learned a lot. It's probably one of the best jobs I've had, and working with him prepared me to work with the caliber of artists that I've written for too. So anybody who's in with him, they're in good hands.
And when you say prepared you, what are some things that you learned from him that you were able to take that's kind of unique to John?
John's an amazing songwriter for reasons most people won't identify. But what is most impressive to me is not everything that he writes, he doesn't live it all. He just takes it in, and he can write about stories that are not his own, which is fascinating.
Yeah.
But beyond that, he has such a gift in that his melodies and the heart behind his songs are so powerful that they inspire people who cannot speak his language to sing. And we would, you know, be all over the world with people who could not sing or could not speak English, but they were so moved to tears. And a lot of times to learn another language, to sing along with him. And if you can't come from that place, it's just talent.
Yeah.
You know, it's not a gift.
Right.
He's gifted. And and I learned so much just observing him in that way.
And you learned Blake, because you were on Blake's team, right? Mm-hmm. So what's the difference between what you've learned from John and what you've learned from Blake?
Blake pushed me in a way that there was this one time I had to do a song, What I Did for Love. And I think this is, I can't remember at what point in the live shows that it was, but I get to this note and he's like, I want you to hold this note like you're Whitney Houston. Like, and I'm holding, he's like, longer, longer, longer. And I'm like, okay. And he just he pushed me in ways that I hadn't been pushed since I was actually studying voice, wow. you know? Mm-hmm. So, and it's amazing because he comes from total different background musically than I do, but when someone's brilliant,
yeah, mm-hmm.
you know, they're able to respect the art that's in you. Mm-hmm. And that goes back to like the excellence versus ego, because there was no, well, let me make you into this country singer because that's what I do. It's like, no, I see who you are. I want to help you get to the height of who you can be in this moment. And that was just priceless to me.
Oh, well, yeah. Thank you so much for yeah. sharing. We really appreciate your yeah. insight tonight. Yeah. This has been really incredible to hear
you.
From someone who's been on the show yeah. and give us the tea.
A little bit of tea.
But thank you guys so much for joining us. That's going to be our show. You guys can find me on Instagram at Princess Carol TV. Ladies, where can we find you guys?
You can find me at Lindsay B. Hoffman everywhere.
Courtney, where can we find you?
I am Courtney Harrell
on IG, and then Courtney Harrell on Twitter and Facebook.
And you can find me, Nema Sky, at NEEMASKYE on all social media platforms.
And you guys can find me on all social media platforms at @TyraProve.
Thanks, guys. See you next week.
Bye.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.